You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Guys, but I'm a really bad mom. I mean, for one thing, I don't actually have any kids. Mm-hmm. So right there, you could look at it and saying, I've like whole civilizations of children have died in the hair around my navel. You know, so I'm a child murderer. Or at least a half a child murderer.
Well, see, I was going to start by saying I'm a bad critic.
Yeah.
You know, I don't divide up my reviews. Like, I just engender discussion and I'm not fair to people. So I am a bad critic, but I'm, you know, aren't we all bad critics?
No disagreement here.
It's the second Ghostbusters review.
We got 78 comments, sir.
That's great. It's more promotion for us.
And if you want to hear Chris and Herman's review, become a subscriber.
Yeah.
I'm going to get away from that as fast as humanly possible.
No, I'm just fucking around.
Let's talk
back to my sperm around my navel hair.
Oh.
That's more interesting.
No.
I don't even have a uterus, so probably don't even qualify as a mom in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
I'm not even potentially a mom.
Yeah.
I might have a hidden chromosome in there somewhere. You know? I'm a sensitive guy. I'm not going to say that's not the case, but there is no way I'm going to gestate a baby.
Certainly not, and thank you for putting that horrible.
Yeah, thank you for that, Chris.
Well, I will say, after seeing this film, I could identify with these bad moms.
Oh yeah, no, my estrogen levels definitely rose while watching.
Well, the theater we were in certainly was.
They were handing out bad moms wine glasses.
Yeah,
like it was, but it was fun seeing it in that audience. Like
it was fun. Yeah,
I feel like critics like. They should be like a control group study. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have to go see it with the audience it's intended for, and then you should have to go see it alone with nobody else, just you.
Can you imagine how many terrible movies you'd have to sit through if that was the case? Twice.
No, no. No, different people.
Yeah.
Like, who have about the same views, but you gotta go to the audience screen and you gotta go and just watch it on a DVD.
Right. I don't want to be in charge of that marketing impact group is all I'm saying.
Well, it helps when we have a few drinks too.
Speaking of which, I want to say thank you to Herman because like I just got engaged this weekend and Herman, I was just sitting there, I was eating my my grilled chicken salad wrap because I'm trying to be a little healthy and I was like, what's this? And Chris just like, Herman just goes, yes, sir. And I'm like, he just sort of nods at me, and I'm like, oh, I got a gin and tonic. Yeah. And this movie became a lot more funny.
Well, I want to give you a drink, like, because you're signing your soul away. So. This guy.
I'm putting his dick in a jar.
Yeah.
You're not going to be needing this anymore.
That's fine with me.
Jokes aside, Elliot, congratulations.
No, thank you.
Happy for you, man. So, you deserve the drink.
Well, it's going to be a good bachelor party.
Last time you'll be drinking. So, enjoy.
Shit, my fiance drinks more than I do.
That's cool. I'm going to go party with Stacy then.
It's a long-lasting marriage right there.
You always pass out early at parties.
Yeah. No. Back in her 20s, she used to hang.
All right, well, so this movie is kind of about people like your fiance.
Yeah.
The lead character, Amy Mitchell, played by Mila Kunis, is one of those moms who just does everything. I mean, this is really, if you have no idea how hard it is to be the house mom, you know, like a housewife, like, you just have no idea. You've never looked, you never tried to pay any attention, you never tried to bond. And to put on top of the fact that she takes care of her two kids in their entirety and everything her deadbeat, you know, hyperbolically exaggerated, stupid sack of shit husband needs. She also works a part-time job, which ends up being a full-time job because her teenage boss...
the guy from Sex Drive.
Clark Duke is like overworks her like crazy despite she's only paid for 3 days a week. So she's
accurate.
It totally is. She's a little stressed. And making it worse is the head of the PTA at her kids' middle school is Gwendolyn, played by Christina Applegate, who is perfect mom trademark. She's like rich and beautiful and she has total control over the school. Like everybody's like terrified of her.
You guys are cronies.
She's Rachel McAdams in Mean Girls.
Yeah. She's got her two cronies, one of which is Jada Pinkett Smith. And they just follow her around doing everything she says. And Mila Kunis has this day that's just like the worst day ever. And she comes into the PTA meeting where they're like, oh, and the bake sale coming up. Yeah, nothing can have butter, sugar, salt.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck are you going to serve?
Flour, peanuts. And finally she's like, I quit. And that's indeed what she does. Mm-hmm. Bonding very quickly along the way with Kristen Bell, who plays Kiki, who is sort of the totally naive mom. She's got a ton of kids. Yeah. She has a controlling husband who just makes her do absolutely everything and has never really seen the world outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Catherine Hahn, who quit a long time ago. And nobody else in the school, none of the other moms in the school talk to her because she's just like, fuck it. She's just hitting on other dads and getting driving drunk and just being a big train wreck of a mom. And the three of them kind of bond over like, you know, fuck this. We're going to be bad moms. And they start partying and they start having a great time. And
you start having a great time watching
and
them.
Things, yeah. And I don't want to...
Eventually.
You know, this is all like the, you know, leading up into the second act, basically. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go too much further because then we start going into tell you the entire plot and the details of the film. Suffice it to say, of course, not everything works out as perfectly as they hope with their bad mom decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that you're really with them when they make that decision.
Yeah.
This movie sells you on the, you know what? You're right. Fuck all those other people.
The second act of this movie, it really comes together in the second act where in the first, where it's kind of introducing like, oh, we're introducing you to Mila Kunis, this overworked mom. She's so haggard. And I would have expected like a voiceover for all this. And I mean, Mila Kunis.
No,
you had
a perfect voiceover.
Mila Kunis was odd casting.
It is, because she is so, I don't know, she's gotten older. She is so fucking hot.
That was the part where I
was when she was younger.
Yeah, that was.
They say that she's old, right? I mean, go ahead.
No, that was, I completely agree. Like, that was the part where it's like, wait a second, let me get this straight. Mila Kunis is your wife,
mm-hmm.
and you feel trapped. What the fuck is wrong?
Yeah, I want to be trapped by that. That
it doesn't matter
marriage.
From either side, mm-hmm. like how sexy your significant other is. After like 12 years, they're just 99% of the time, they are not going to be as sexy to you as they might be to the next guy.
Well, I tell you, the great thing about this movie is that if you told it from a different story, and it start like Zach Braff as the husband, it'd be a completely different movie.
Oh, true.
Or Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, no.
That's what I thought this was. This was.
Yeah, you're right. This should have been Ashton Kutcher.
It should have been Ashton. It would have been perfect. Then.
Yeah, because we all kind of want to believe that that's exactly like he's just a useless piece of shit.
Yeah.
And, like,
he's probably very loving.
Mila Kunis is about to be just done with
him. Ask Demi Moore.
Hey, Demi Moore, she knew what she was getting into.
I guess when she married a teenager.
I don't know. I mean, hey, you know, more power to her. You know, like we always say, some older guy marries like a girl 30 years younger than him, we're always like, dude, mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah.
I was like, when she did it, I was like, hey, I would have picked better, but you know what? Still, he's young and got a hard body. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
But then it's like, when he like fucked up, it's like, yeah, that sounds about right.
All right, let's not talk about that.
But I just want to get back, like the first act to me, I kind of felt like, you guys watch Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
When you know, the mountain had Oberyn Martell on the ground and he was slowly like, gouging his eyes out, and about to explode his head. I kind of felt like that.
Holy shit.
To a certain extent.
Jesus Christ.
But after a while, like, the mountain started to alleviate that. And even though my eyes were slightly, like, squished and everything.
Buddy,
like,
is everything okay?
And, like, he gave Oberyn a nice hug. And, like, let's watch this wonderful kind of comedy together and have a lot of fun. It doesn't always work very well. Yes.
Yeah.
But
did you become a zombie afterwards?
No zombies.
Okay.
Thankfully. Spoiler.
Oh, come on.
Like, I mean, I agree, not in the context of like physical pain was induced, but in the
first like
act of this movie, I'm watching it and I'm going, this is so not made for me.
Yep.
Like, it is not my demographic. At the same time, there's nothing about it that's making me groan. There aren't jokes that are so bad. You're like, oh, what the fuck?
It's like, oh, she spilled coffee
on
herself.
It's just stuff that doesn't really connect. There's a certain degree of slapstick that you're like, okay, that's just not that funny. Whatever. Okay. And it's to get you to that point where you realize, okay, she has to come to this breaking point.
Sure.
Yeah. That point's not executed all that great, but they got to do what they got to do to get you to where the movie really gets on the rails in the second act when they start partying.
When the montage starts.
Yeah.
Because there are like five montages, and it's great.
And the best parts of this movie are when all three of the girls are together.
Yes.
I mean, they
particularly Catherine Hahn as Carla. I mean, every scene she's in, she steals it.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
She's like kind of what Melissa McCarthy was for Bridesmaids to a certain extent.
Or what people told me they felt about
that. Sure. Exactly. And where, she comes in and she's completely crazy. And, well, crazy, but... No, I guess she kind of is, because she doesn't really care about her really weird...
That big motherfucker.
Obviously, mentally challenged son.
Yeah.
But it's like, every time she talks about him, or when she's just with them, the movie just comes alive to me. And even Kristen Bell. She does a good job,
No, but you know, you make a good point. Like, the strength of this movie is really the top, the leading three ladies.
Yeah, their chemistry together.
Because I tell you, like, I've watched Mila Kunis in a lot of stuff. I watched Catherine Hahn in a lot of stuff. Like, she was in, she had a very small role in The Visit, I think, last year. And she was good in that. Okay. She's always, she was in Parks and Rec. She's always good in whatever she's in. And Kristen Bell, like, she has such a good, she has such a wide range. Like, she played.
She could have just as easily played the Christina Applegate film.
She could have played any of those roles. Like, she played a diametrically opposed role to what she played in this movie in House of Lies for 5 years.
Yeah, great, great show.
And it's just like watching all these great actresses work with mediocre, it, honestly, like mediocre, like a mediocre story.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. At the beginning. It was in, it was embiggened by these actresses.
Yeah, and as well, and I don't want to downplay at all the fact, like, okay, well, you talk about the mediocre story, and that's because it's all too familiar. This
it's familiar.
Essentially a underdog college party movie that's just transposed to the situation of these moms. I mean, the whole three-act structure. I mean, this is by the same people who made 21 and Over and The Hangover. Like, you, right there, you go, oh, I mean, it's a rated R style comedy with everybody's cussing that manages.
They say fuck a lot.
That thank God, does the one of the things that I didn't like about Bridesmaids a lot, did not like a lot, is that they constantly went for the lowest denominator gross out jokes.
You're pooping in the street.
Yeah, and I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sakes. That's like the thing I hate, and like, I don't care if they're men or women in those movies. Stop it with that.
It's just cheap.
And this doesn't actually go to it. You think it's going to at one point.
It does a fake out.
It doesn't. Yeah, it fakes you out.
Like, they say something about a dog, and you're like, well, here we go.
I bet you anything that's in the deleted scenes.
I bet you they cut it out. I think you're right. They probably cut it out.
Uncontrollably shitting, and then you never see it, and you're ready for it to happen. And I was like, thank you for not doing that, because there was no reason for it.
The editor made the right decision.
But like, that whole structure works again here more than it would have if this was a very similar movie, but like set in a college with a bunch of underdogs again, because this is something people actually kind of need to hear more now.
And it's new. We haven't seen this really before.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen that underdog from a mom's perspective. We've seen so many whiny indie guys. Like, I can just name them something. The Last Kiss, Garden State, Elizabethtown, what's that one with Josh Randor? He was in Elizabeth Olsen.
I'm a little scared by how well.
How did you know? I didn't even.
I was a very sensitive 20-year-old. Like, I watched all these. I'm making fun of me.
Just say Zach Braff's entire, cinematic career.
It's like, now we get to see. Okay, you're self-obsessed. That's awesome. You're finding yourself with an indie song and a Manic Pixie Dream Girl. That's awesome. What happens when you're married and like your husband doesn't do shit? You got a boss that just takes advantage of you.
Yeah, even your
and
kids.
And you got kids that are just little shits that don't appreciate you.
Brood's a failure. I just want to point out.
And in society in general going, like, you can never do anything right.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what you do, if something goes wrong, it was your fault.
Whereas,
you
know, like, if your kid walks
into a bear pit, it's your fault.
But if a dad, like, walks outside with his kid, oh my God, look at that dad.
Yeah.
It's like, well, she's like running fucking marathons for them. How would you give them some credit?
And it's nice to see that turned around. And this movie actually is the thing I guarantee you, one of the first things we're going to hear from dude bros who have to see this movie with their girlfriend. Like, well, you know, all the men in here are either completely stupid or just eye candy models. And you're like, yeah, that is kind of true. Kind of like almost every other movie ever made about with women in it. I think it's time we let the tables be reversed for the sake of people laughing.
Sure.
The pointed at demographic here.
The thing I loved about it is you brought that up and it reminded me it held true to that rule, because in these other movies, the black girl or the minority girl is the only one that's allowed to be a full character, because like they're not going to be really a love interest or an enemy. So in this movie, the only man that is like not stupid but not eye candy is the black principal.
Yeah.
And it's great. And he's just like, hey, I'm just here. I gotta appeal to a different demo.
So there's a scene, where he's like, one of the kids gets busted with pot.
Yeah.
And it's like, this bag filled with some Afghan kush. He knows exactly what the style we need. You're like, yeah, there's a lot of really just kind of laugh out loud moments in this movie after the second act starts.
Yep.
Oh, so many.
With the exception of a brief lull, which is totally necessary, like
to get to the
plot,
like
kind of
you know, where you're like, okay, oh, shit's starting to go wrong, everybody's doubting themselves. With the exception of the brief lull, which once again you got to do, it pretty much stays funny for the rest of the movie. And I'll even say, like, at the end credits, they do a really nice bit where they have all the stars of the movie come on with their moms and start telling stories of how the moms acted like bad moms at points over their kids. And you're like, that's kind of, it reminds me of when Harry met Sally or something.
Oh, you know?
Really nice moment.
Yeah. And I think it underscores their entire point of, you know, you can try to be this thing no matter what you're doing. You can try to be the best. You can try to be the best person you want to be, but at the end of the day, you're still human. You're still just trying, and it doesn't do anybody any good just to like say, "Well, you're shit for not being perfect." That's one of the things I really liked about this movie. At the end, after the villain gets defeated, spoilers, like it's a college underdog movie. The villain gets defeated, and a lot of these like college underdog movies, the villain just remains a shit.
Yeah.
This one, it actually makes it a point.
Yeah.
To say, now let's show you a little bit about why this person was that way.
It lets everybody in the movie have their humanity, which is nice. Even as it's playing with stereotypes in these type of films.
Even the husband.
Reversed. Yeah, everybody actually gets their moment of like, okay, despite all these negative things about them, they're still a human being that have like things about them that you're like, you just didn't understand why they were fucked up like that. Mm-hmm, and you're like, oh, that's kind of nice. And they don't dwell on it over long. They're just enough to feel like kind of refreshing. Yeah. I mean, this movie might as well have Sisterhood with an extra exclamation mark stamped on it, and as well it should.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised Tina Fey and
Amy Poehler
didn't show up.
Yeah, or produce it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, too bad these women weren't the Ghostbusters, huh, Chris?
They would have been better. They clearly had better chemistry.
Y'all just want comments
and
now.
It helped because none of them were Kate McKinnon, who was incredibly
Kate
overrated.
McKinnon was great, but I tell you what, I would have loved to have Kristen Bell and Catherine Hahn instead of. Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. I would have switched those out in a second.
I stand by. I think Leslie Jones is the best part of that movie.
I do too.
Well, man, I'm not getting in trouble again. I got like just raked over the coals.
Elliot. Black people are funny.
Yeah.
Black critics matter, is what I was saying. BCM, baby.
Oh, hell no. There was one part in this movie that I thought was during the end credits when J. Pickett Smith had her mother on. And there's just this great moment where she's kind of referencing, well, you did pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, you did okay.
Yeah, but what are you talking about?
You kind of hit the, like, above A-plus level of scoring a life for yourself.
It's like, you were a big-ass movie star in your own right.
Yeah.
And then you got Will Smith.
Man, married with one of the richest, most handsome guys in the world, at least at the time.
Yeah.
He has charisma.
And he's apparently a super sweet guy.
Yeah.
To all reports. Despite sometimes being a little too nice to talk to him about Scientology.
I will say, like,
he's played that down recently.
Yeah.
This movie, and like one of the things I liked about Ghostbusters is, like, I love. Oh, like, no, I'm just trying to draw a point. One of the things I love about movies and the things that really make a movie stand out to me is a scene that I know I'm going to remember on a random Tuesday night, like 5 years from now. Mm-hmm. When I'm in a bad mood, I'm like, damn, that was a great scene.
Mm.
Like last week, it was the Ghostbusters with McKinnon in her like solo, slow-mo, like ghostbusting scene. That's to me is like one of my favorite scenes of all time. Mm-hmm. But this movie, when Mila Kunis, I'm not going to ruin it, she goes off on her son and describes what is wrong with the majority of Austin hipsters.
Yeah.
And it's so great.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to see you grow up into a hipster, basically, and describing it in detail. It's like, that was kind of awesome. Which, because it's all about, like, you know what we're doing by creating these kids that we do everything for and you're not allowed to say no to? Mm-hmm. We're making them completely entitled, which, will make them grow up to be a douchebag.
They'll become cyclists and they'll fucking put their hands in my car when they're fucking tired.
Then they'll invite you to
useless people.
Yeah, and then they'll invite you to their bad ska band. Be like, hey, come out and see you. Like, we don't have free drinks, but I'll totally get you a Lone Star.
Again, it hammers home with the fact that children are horrible.
Yeah, the kids are all right.
We should stop having them. Or certain people should stop having them.
Yeah, well,
now we're getting into eugenics territory.
Well, I didn't say that. Just,
are
you
a Nazi?
Removing it.
Just the hipsters shouldn't have children. How about that? I think we can all agree.
Well, you know, not just all hipsters are bad.
Not all hipsters. Yeah, hashtag not all
not
hipsters.
Not the ones that put their hands in my car when they're digging toys. Yeah, well,
that's some bullshit, too.
Yeah.
Like, you're fucking riding a bike. You get tired. Balance on your fucking bike. Don't lean against somebody's car.
Yeah.
I don't know where your hands been. You got some oily ass hands.
This should be clear by now. It just happened to Chris Herman.
It did.
Here.
Oh, God.
So, and he's still...
Fuck them.
Yeah. Little angry.
Go to final thoughts there, Elliot.
I've been thinking about the entire way back, you know, when I'm going to give this rating. I really enjoyed this. And honestly, I can't say that my enjoyment of the movie was not affected by the crowd we saw it with. But it was really nice to see it with... This was like a different crowd than we normally get to see movies with.
Very true.
Normally we get to see movies with these crowds that they are just there for free.
Dude, let me point out a crowd of like total MILFs. I mean, oh my God. These are not like you think, oh, they're all moms. You're like, no, this is a crowd you would completely party with.
Well, and that's the thing that a lot of people don't get these days, because like, I had one of my friends from high school after he's like, oh, you're getting married, so I guess your day's over. I'm like, you don't realize that a lot of moms are hot these days.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You need to get out more, sir. No, but just like, they enjoyed it so much that like, their enjoyment was infectious. And Catherine Hahn was great. Kristen Bell was great. Mila Kunis, honestly, I haven't liked her in a movie this much in a long time. She sort of made up for...
Not since Jupiter
Ascending. Yeah, you beat me too. I was like, she sort of made up for Jupiter Ascending.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Weren't you the guy who gave that a good review?
That was, I think Richard.
Was it Richard?
Of course it was.
Sam. Yeah. I don't know. It was...
Black Swan was the last
one. It was Richard because he liked Chicago and that was a thing. No.
I like Chicago.
No, there was a critic that was here for like a day who's from Chicago.
I don't remember. Go ahead and go back to
Yeah. No, but yeah, I just thinking about this movie, it has, and on top of that, underneath all of this, and now I'm going to have my 10% of the review, and I'll do timestamps, and I'll give you percentages that's going to talk about, and I'm just fucking with you, Scott. I love you to death. I'm going to tell you the part that I think is a good message here.
Yeah.
It is a good message to say to people, no matter what your situation in life is, it's okay not to be perfect, and it actually is okay to take a break. You know, just going for the sake of going and just keep on working, you're just going to end up doing your job really shitty even though you keep on doing it.
Don't let the judgies get to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're everywhere. And no matter where you go, you're going to have the judgies in your life.
You're going to have the Taylor Swifts in your life.
Who are going to talk down to you sometimes because they think they would have done something differently or better.
Yeah.
Well, you just got to fucking take that shot of tequila and not worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for all those reasons.
Can't have a shot of tequila. Yeah. I don't care if they're one. You got to learn sometime.
My dad to sleep.
My dad gave me a beer when I was like 9.
Well, that explains volume.
Well, he's like, do you want to try it? I'm like, yes. And it was horrible. And because I didn't have the taste buds for it yet. Okay. But all those reasons, I just really enjoyed this movie. And I got to give this 8 Martha Stewart Jell-O shots out of 10.
Christopher Herman, what is your opinion?
So here's the thing. Like, I prejudged the film, saw the trailers, thought they were awful. I was like, oh, I definitely don't want to see that movie. But then, you know, Elliot signed up to go see Bad Moms, and I thought, well, I definitely don't want to go see Cafe Society.
See, we're the minions. We're like bros now. You and me, man. You and me, like, we're the review bros.
I love seeing movies with you, Elliot. But I definitely didn't want to go to Cafe Society because I can't stand the Woody Allen crowd. And the people's like, I'm going to clap because I understood that reference.
Thank you.
That's not a Woody Allen thing.
Totally that's a pretentious fucking critic thing.
It's
a very obscure reference.
Midnight in Paris.
Jesus.
Midnight in Paris is a fucking genius.
I love that movie.
It's a good movie, but the crowd with it, where they want to let you know.
Yes. Oh my God!
Yes, Ernest Hemingway.
Oh, like the seals in Finding Dory. Like
awful. Anyway, but back to the film.
You guys were like the seals in Finding Dory, going off.
But so I prejudged the film. I thought the trailers were awful, and you know, even when this movie started, and it was like that whole montage, Mila Kunis and doing her thing. It was like, oh, this is excruciating. But when they got to that second act, when they introduced Kristen Bell and Catherine Hahn. And they just had fantastic chemistry with Mila Kunis. It was really funny. I laughed out more than several times during this movie. More times than I laughed here, more than I did in Ghostbusters. But, it's the problem with the movie is that it's very predictable, and not all the jokes land, particularly the physical comedy. It doesn't that really doesn't work most of the time. But again, like you, Elliot, said, and what you said, Chris, too, that this has a great message that, you know, you don't have to be perfect, that let your kids be kids. Mm-hmm. And don't overwork yourself because then you're going to be miserable. Have a goddamn life. And I identify that. I think that's a sweet message to everyone.
No, and I don't want to horn in, but like one of the movies I hated last year, Men, Women, and Children. This movie told the message that movie was trying to tell better.
Yeah.
With comedy than they were trying to do this heavy-handed drama.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Sure. No, and you know, I have to say I enjoyed the film for what it was, for its flaws. So I'd give it. Oh, God.
You gotta pick something.
I know, I'm just...
Better be right, Chris.
six and a half unsexy bras.
Oh, you're never getting laid.
There is no such thing as the unsexy bra. That's what I gotta say right there.
I've seen some pretty unsexy
bras.
Yeah,
okay,
bras.
Come on.
Yeah. Man, you just focus on the wrong things, brother.
Hey, man, what can I tell you? I'm a poop man. I know you black guys, you're all about ass men, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, I like that too. No,
you're not wrong. Like, yeah.
Corey told me. He's like, you don't understand.
No, and you don't even realize this happening to you because, like, when I was like a teenager, totally a boo man. And then, like, sometime around 23, it was like, what's up, girl?
No, man, I got milk. It's all there. Anyway, sorry, the totally inappropriate discussion for this review.
Should have brought up my rating.
Yeah, I mean, like, certainly if this type of formula of film has never been something that appealed to you, or you're just so sick of it you can't stand to see it one more time, I mean, it's going to irritate you, because it is. It's that exact same formula, but it feels fresh, because it is stamped with something new on top of it. It is repurposed for a completely different demographic than we've even seen before. I found a lot of it amusing because I was so familiar with the formula, the way it turned tropes of the formula kind of on their head, so gender-wise, reversing the tropes in a way with dialogue that was clever enough to make those reversals work.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
it wasn't cloying.
Yeah, exactly. You're right, Chris. It did start off kind of slow and kind of like, this is not for us.
Like the mountain was crushing my head.
No, it was, it was not painful. But I, you know, once it started going, I was totally with it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
I still think, like, I do think Mila Kunis is a decent actress and she's charming. She did seem like the one problem is that, she is so incredibly perfectly gorgeous that you're like, are you sure Mila Kunis is the right person for this role?
Yeah.
She just seems like maybe somebody a little older, a little more haggard, tired looking. Maybe Tina Fey would have been a good choice for this.
But to be fair, like, even Kristen Bell, there was a part where she was in like this like really tight top. It was like,
Yeah, but most of the time they have her where Kristen Bell's hair's all over the place, and she's just got that wide-eyed, thousand-yard stare the whole time of someone whose brain's just not functioning right anymore because they've just come out of combat.
Probably reasonable.
Like the sound cuts out, like in Saving Private Ryan.
When they wanted her to look crazy, they just started bringing a sloth in.
Oh, no.
Like, it's a sloth. If you do this scene well, Kristen will give you, let you hug the sloth.
Why are you so tiny?
There's a lot of stuff to really love here, and if you want to get laid, take a date to this movie, laugh all the way through it, tell her how much you loved it and how true it was, and there is no way you're not getting laid that night.
Yeah.
No way. I give it the Chris guarantee.
Also, make sure to, and you should mean this, obviously, but make sure to be like, man, I can't believe... Like, I would never be like that husband. That guy's a deadbeat.
Yeah.
Like, you just...
And hopefully you shouldn't be.
You better be it, but, like... Because, like, that right there, that husband is, like, almost every woman's nightmare. It's like, you get somebody, they're great, and then they just stop doing anything, and you have an extra kid. Uh-huh. It's like, well, fuck.
Well, I give it 7.5 out of 10 vodka shots that come from Catherine Hahn's mouth. Yeah, because she's also, she's like spitting vodka shots into other people's mouth. I'm like, I would totally do a vodka.
She's spitting a lot of different substances.
Yeah, she was. That's true. She did a lot of spitting and a lot of communing with other people's mouths in general.
Well, I mean, that situation's sort of like, you know, Ghostbusters, where it's like,
stop going back to Ghostbusters.
Where it's like,
I did it last time, and I'm like,
Ray, if somebody asks if you're a god, you say yes. It's sort of the same thing.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to agree to disagree.
Okay.
On that note,
what did you do, Chris?
My lacuna is really hot.
I was just thinking about Twinkies. Green sludge Twinkies.